Oh, beloved, is there someone or something looming over you? I mean, absolutely threatening you, causing you to fear, causing you to tremble. What are you going to do? Should you tremble? Should you be afraid? You say, Kay, if you knew what I was going through, you would tremble and you would be afraid. All right, then let's find out what we're going to do about it. Let's find God's solution to the problem. Enemy is looming over you, beloved. I mean, when you are being threatened, or your family's being threatened, or your future's being threatened, or your security is being threatened, what do? You need to know the battle strategy of faith. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to do a mini series on the battle strategy of faith. And we're going to do it from the story, that famous, famous story of David and Goliath. You know, God tells us that the Old Testament, that the stories of the Old Testament, that the events of the Old Testament, that what we learn from the Old Testament about God, that these things were written for our instruction so that we, through the encouragement of the scriptures, might have hope, and so that we might persevere. And so what you and I are going to look at is we're going to look at the battle strategy of faith when an enemy is looming over you. I'm not talking about when you have a financial need. I'm not talking about you when you're wrestling with the integrity of the Word of God. I'm talking about a faith that is needed in a battle, in a warfare. Well, you know the story, or maybe you don't know the story, because so many people today are so unfamiliar with the Word of God because they haven't been brought up in church, or because the parents haven't been home to teach them the Word of God. So let's go, and I'm going to pretend that you don't know a thing about this story. And what we're going to do is we're going to march through the Word of God. We're going to march through 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse by verse, because I don't want you to miss a thing. And as we do, I just want to remind you that this program is dedicated to establishing you in God's Word so that you might know truth for yourself, so that you might know how to discover truth for yourself, and so that you might realize that you can know the Word of God on your own. Not that God doesn't want teachers, not that God doesn't use preachers and pastors and that, but God wants you as His child to know the Word of God. And you may say, but I'm listening and I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm not sure I'm a child of God. Well, we will cover that also. And always, you can get in touch with me at our website. All you do is go to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and there you can download a study guide that will go with 1 Samuel. And what I want us to do is I want us to pray, okay? I always pray for you before we do this program, but I want to pray with you now. Father, you know how scary it is to have an enemy that is looming over us, an enemy that seems so much stronger and so much more powerful. And Father, I just pray that you would take this series and that you would minister to these precious ones, Father, that are under the sound and under the teaching of your Word. And I pray, Father, that your Word would find root in the good soil of their hearts, and that it would bring forth such a harvest, and that they would so delight in what they learn about you, and that they would so know you that they would be able to stand firm, and that they would be able to take action. Not that they would be immobilized, but they would be mobilized to go forward in the battle and know that it is faith that wins the victory. We thank you now and bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're very, very precious. And now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, remember at this point in Samuel, David has been anointed as king. He has been anointed as king by Samuel. Saul does not know this. Saul is the king of Israel. He's the first king of Israel. Saul knows, though, that God has removed, is going to remove the kingdom from him because of his disobedience, because he would not do what God said. God gave him two opportunities to be obedient to him, and both times Saul failed. And because he failed, he wasn't a man after God's own heart. And God was searching for a man after his own heart. And a man after God's own heart, listen carefully, is a man who listens to God and a man who obeys God. And so David is that man that God found, a man after his own heart. God has anointed him. And then what happens is Saul is tormented by an evil spirit. And because he's tormented by an evil spirit, the men suggest that they get someone to play music for him so that they might drive the evil spirit away. Well, they find David. Of course, we know that David is the singer of the Psalms, that he is a harpist. And so he comes, and when he plays, the evil spirit goes away. Also, we know that Saul is so, just loves David. And because he loves David, he has made David his armor bearer. All right, but David also is apparently serving his father, because when this opens, David is not with Saul at this point. Rather, he's out in the field tending the sheep, because David is a shepherd. All right, chapter 17, you got the background, let's go. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they were camped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And it says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. Now, if you know anything about 1 Samuel, or if you have been following us as we've been teaching the book of 1 Samuel, we've been teaching it in segments, but as we've been teaching it, right from the beginning, the Philistines are the enemy of Israel. And there's this constant conflict between the Philistines and between the children of Israel. Now, where were the Philistines located? The Philistines were located along the western coast of Israel. All right. And it's the same place where Gaza is today. It was Gaza. It was Ekron and other cities right in that area on that coastal plain. These are people that came from across the sea and settled there. And this is why many people have called it the land of the Palestines. And that comes from the Philistines. So they've been an enemy, and they still are an enemy of Israel. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Now, this is very, very strategic in war, and you need to understand this. They had hills there. You may be in Texas or someplace where you don't know what a hill is. But anyway, or in some parts of Texas, forgive me. All right, I'm in beautiful Tennessee. We know what our hills are. But there's a valley in between. And in warfare, you want to be on the top. You want to be on the top so that you can look down and find out what your enemy is doing. But then when the battle happens, the battle happens in the valley. They both leave their mountaintops and come down. And so then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now listen, he was over 9 feet tall. I mean, this was one huge, huge man. And they're on these hills, and he comes out, and as he stands there, he's just a mammoth of a man. And I mean, it is absolutely scary. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was clothed with scale armor, which was fine armor that went over, lapped over. So it was kind of like fish scales so that you can see, that would protect them from the arrows getting through. And I want you to understand this. I want you to get a glimpse of this enemy, and God does too. And do you know why he gives you such a big glimpse of this enemy? He wants you to understand that all the odds were against the Israelites. That's what he wants you to understand. He wants you to understand how big the enemy is. You say, it scares me. It scares me. You don't know how big my enemy is. My enemy is the court system. My enemy is the lawyer that my husband could afford to hire. My enemy is this group of people that are coming against me and are determined that they are going to get me out of my place of employment because I love Jesus Christ. Okay, beloved, we've got it. Your enemy may be different, but we're looking at the battle strategy of faith. And so he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. They figured he probably had on 125 pounds of armor. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin swung between his shoulder. Bronze was very, very strong. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield carrier also walked before him. All right, now just imagine this. I'm going to just imagine this giant looming in front of you, and you're just right down there. And this, I mean, let's say you're 6 foot. He's 3 feet taller than you. You look at him, and when you look at him, what do you see? You see that he is covered from head to toe with armor, that there is no way that you can penetrate this armor. He has this bronze helmet on him. So this is what he looked like. You got the picture? Okay. Now, as we continue, I want you to see what he did. He stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine? And you, servants of Saul, choose a man yourselves and let him come down to us." He says, "If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you should become our servants and serve us." And again, the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." God's going to give him a boy, not a man. And if you know this story, you know what happens. If you don't, stick with me, and we'll unfold and unravel the story as we go along. But I want you to know, this is an accurate story. This is a real story. This is history. So here is this man looming above them, covered with all this armor and making these threats against Israel. Now you say, what is going on? Well, this was very common in those days, because in those days, what they would do many times to keep so many men from getting killed in the slaughter of battle, and you've got to remember that war was a profession. When you read about David, later on, you'll find out it was the time for kings to go to war. Okay, so what are these armies doing? Well, we'll talk about it right after the break.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee. In a barn, actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Welcome back to the battlefield. A Philistine has just defied the armies of a living God. He has challenged them to send a man to come and fight against him, this 9-foot giant that is loaded from the top of his head to the tip of his toes with armor and who has a spear in his hand that is a deadly, deadly weapon. And he has said, send a man out. And if I beat him, then we rule you. And if you beat me, then you rule us. Now, what is going on? Well, this is the way they would fight their battles. Often they would have a contest between two. Now, it's not like a duel. A duel is a personal thing. You remember the duels where they whip out the swords and they go like this. And that's a personal thing. But this is, or they whip out their pistols. But this is a different tactic of war. And it's simply that you choose your two best men, you put them down there in the valley, and you let them fight. And whoever wins, then the other party submits to the winner. Well, obviously, now listen, obviously, from everything that you can see, we know who the logical winner of this battle would be. It would be the one that is the biggest, the one that is the strongest, the one that is the most experienced. And so when you look at it, I mean, you can understand what it says here. It says in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I mean, dismayed means that they just lost it. They couldn't get their act together. They couldn't think. You know what I mean. If you've been in a trial and the outcome of that trial is going to be determined by you and the enemy that has come against you, and that enemy is so much bigger and so much greater and so much more influential and so much powerful, you know that sometimes when you think of what you're going to lose, when you think of what's going to happen if you lose, then you're just dismayed. You can't think. You can't get your act together. You can't reason it through. And in that lethargy of mind or that freezing of your mind so that you can't go anywhere. You're just frozen. You're just paralyzed with fear. Then you don't know what to do. And you need to understand that this is a battle strategy of faith. And it's faith that is going to win the battle. It is faith that is going to make you more than a conqueror. And let me just say this. Behind every enemy, what you need to see is you need to see God, who looms much larger than any enemy. Well, as we look at this, what I want you to do is I want you to mark every reference to the Philistine. Now, you can mark every reference to Goliath and you can mark every pronoun, but you'll have too many markings in your Bible. So what I would do is anytime you see the name Goliath or anytime you see the Philistine, not the Philistines, but the Philistine that is the representative, then what I want you to do is simply put a box around it. Now, if you have downloaded the study guide for this program, then you know what to do because we show you that. And you just go to preceptsforlife.com and you can download the study guide. All right, now let's go on and see what happens. It says, now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. The 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle. And the names of these 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, we've met him before, the firstborn, and the second to him, Abinadab, and we've met him before in the previous chapter, and the third, Shammah, and we've met him before in the previous chapter. And it says David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. The Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. And what do you have? Instead of 40 days of purpose, as my friend Rick Warren has written, instead of 40 days of purpose, what you have is you have 40 days of fear, 40 days of terror, 40 days of threatening. Now, what has God done? God has set up the battle scene. God has shown you how great the enemy is. Now he's going to introduce the one that's going to come against the enemy, and that one is David. So he's introducing David, and he wants you to understand that David is the youngest of Jesse's sons. Here is a young man, and what God's going to do is he's going to bring David to the battlefield. But before we get David on the battlefield, what I want you to do is I want you to write down the first principle of faith strategy in war. In what is the battle strategy of faith when an enemy is looming above you? Well, the first thing is this, that you are not to be dismayed. Do not be dismayed by the threat of man. Do not be dismayed by the threat of man. Rather, you need to fear God. And what we're going to see as we read on is we're going to see David coming on the scene so that you know that you're not to be threatened by man. You're not to fear the face of man. So watch what happens. Well, it says in verse 17, then Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of your brothers and bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of the thousands and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them. Look at the welfare of your brothers. Well, his brothers weren't doing so well. They were scared to death. Saul and all the people were scared. It was 40 days of fear. For Saul and they and all the men are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David arose early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, took the supplies, and went as Jesse had commanded him as his dad. He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines and spoke these same words, I defy the armies of the living God. And David heard them. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled with him and were greatly afraid. What do you do in fear? We'll talk about it in our next program.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Well, beloved, as we wrap up today's program, you need to have your precept for life, the standard, the truth by which you are going to live. And I'm going to take it from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. This is your precept for life today. Verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. What does God want you to know, and what does God want you to understand? He wants you to understand about the enemy. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This is what my daddy used to tell me as a young girl. He used to say, honey, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And we have seen one big man. I mean, he is 9 foot tall. I mean, he is wearing this armor that weighs about 125 pounds. He is a mass of manhood. And he is covered from top of his head to the tip of his toes with armor. And yet, God wants you and me to understand, and he gives us this description, is, hey, the fear of man brings a snare. If you fear him, you're going to fall in a trap. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. I promise you, on the authority of God's word, that God will exalt you in due time. If your case is just, if the battle is legal, and it's not because you've done something wrong, you can know this, that if God be for you, who can be against you? So don't let the fear of man be your snare, beloved, but trust in the Lord and know that in due time, in God's way, not necessarily immediately, but in God's way and in God's time, you, because you have trusted in the Lord, will be exalted. We're going to see this in the next program, and you don't want to miss it. Remember, I have 8 battle strategies of faith for you that are going to enable you to live and walk as more than a conqueror, no matter how big, no matter how foreboding the enemy is. You, beloved, can be exalted. You can walk as more than a conqueror through him who loves you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So grab hold of God, grab hold of all that God is, and walk and live in the light of it, precious one. And you will be more than a conqueror. God bless you.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.